We're looking at the courage to find your way. We're talking about stepping into our true sense of purpose and how we can let go of everything else that we think we're supposed to be doing to get in touch with our true authentic self. So this week, my theme is setting your course, and we're looking at what it takes to get going in the right direction. Right, so we've talked about already this month, we've talked about the courage that it takes to step into this, which means dealing with our fears and our sense of worth and all of those things that get in the way of that. And then we talked about how our lives are speaking to us, that there's guidance and wisdom there for us, and sometimes we're looking off to the side and ignoring what's right there guiding us. And so this week we're talking about really getting going on it. If we're going to step into the path of our life, we need to kind of move, right? A path doesn't say we're standing still. A path kind of shows us that we're going somewhere, that we're moving forward. And so the idea is to set our course. We need to set our course first. Here we are in summer, and I'll admit it that I am not the best planner when it comes to vacations and trips and things like that. But one of the things that I've got planned is my family and I in July are going up on a road trip. A few years ago, we did a road trip from San Francisco up to Oregon, and we're going to connect the dots this year, going from our house up to San Francisco. And so, so I keep thinking as I was getting prepared for this week, I keep thinking of the fact that I haven't planned that yet. Like, I have no idea where we're going and where we're going to stay and what we're doing yet. And we need to sit down and do that, which we have planned to do that. We got to do it, because it's only about a month away, so we got to really get going on that. But it keeps reminding me of this theme. So what happens if I set my course for my life and I don't have a plan? Say I want to go somewhere and I just get out and I start driving somewhere. I need to know where I'm headed, right? I need to set my course. I need to know that if I turn right out of my house, that eventually, I could just go and know that I could just take turns and stuff and then eventually end up at the beach. But I may go through the mountains first to get there, right? And if you want to get anywhere specifically, if you want to go in a specific direction, you have to plan your course, right? And so that's the same truth with our life, that we are called to set our course. And so it means being intentional. It means being specific about what it is that you're wanting to create, and be intentional about the direction that you want to go in. I was inspired, I am loving this Oprah book, by the way, and I was inspired by a quote from the book where she says this: all dreams start from the core. Unless you're in total alignment with whatever you envision, the dream will get derailed. Your intention has to be pure. And so there's three little sentences. But that's a spiritual philosophy right there. And what it's saying is that your dream comes from deep within you. You can't figure it out from your brain. You can't think yourself into the dream that's going to fulfill your life. It needs to come from deep within you. It needs to come from within your heart. And that's a yearning. That's a desire. That's a feeling so deep of wanting to create something. And that's God's desire within you. And so you can't think into, oh, what would be good for me? Right? No. It's about feeling what it is that you're wanting to experience in your life. Can you tell I'm excited? I'm already talking so much. I didn't have two cups of coffee today, but I must be really excited about what I'm talking about, because I can hear myself going. So the second sentence, unless you're in total alignment with whatever you envision, the dream will get derailed, right? And so that's the idea that we have to stay on course. We have to set our course and stay on it. We have to commit to it, to that dream, to that vision, to that idea, because everything from the outside world is going to creep in and tell you that's not possible. It's going to feed on your doubts. The people around you are just the voice of your own insecurity. And they will say things to you that you wouldn't imagine that they would say. But it's not about their belief in you. It's just a reflection. Everybody's a mirror to our own insecurities and our own doubts. So we need to stay in alignment with that belief. And we need to stay in alignment with what that vision is for our lives and what it is that we're wanting to create. Your intention has to be pure. I love that. There's so much in that. And what that means is that you can't be doing something to prove yourself to anybody else. You can't be wanting to create something. Your dream cannot be about getting one up in somebody. A sibling, a friend, somebody, the neighbor, keeping up with the Joneses, that idea. If you're doing this to prove that you are better or you are worthy or it's somebody else's dream for you, it's never going to work. It has to be pure, which means we have to allow ourselves to get so connected with our true voice, which is deep within us, which is deep within who we are. And again, so there's this quote that is really inspirational to me, but then I go back to what I shared a couple weeks ago about my favorite Ernest Holmes quote, which says that all nature conspires to produce and manifest the freedom of the individual, that it may unloose its own energy. You can be sure, we can be sure that God is for us, whatever our conception of God may be. So it's done unto you as you believe. God is there. So what I'm trying to do is, today we're trying to bridge the idea that this is true. That intention, when we're clear about it, and we stick to it, and we commit to it, and we live our life as it, is there. And then we have to get to the place where we allow all of nature to rise, to conspire for our success. But you got to get from the vision to allowing God to do its job. And so that's what we're talking about today, is how we do that. How do we step over that bridge of allowing ourselves to live the life that we desire, of creating this magnificent experience, this big life that we've come here to live, instead of derailing ourselves, instead of getting off track. The question is, the question is, how do we allow God to be God in our lives? So the first step is getting clear about what it is that we want to live our life, how we want to live our lives, what we want to create in our lives. Now, whether you're working on your life as a whole, or one aspect, maybe it's your career, maybe it's relationships, maybe it's your finances, maybe it's your connection with God, whatever the area of your life, or just sometimes people come in and I'll say, okay, what's going on? And they'll say, well, what do you want to work on? I want my life done overhaul. You know, it's a whole complete makeover, you know? Whether it's one thing or everything, the idea is we need to get clear about what we want in that area. We need to get really clear about allowing ourselves to have the desires and deserving the desires that are in there. And that's so hard for some people, right? I don't know about you, but I was the baby of 4 kids, all right? God bless my mother and my father. But that there was not a lot of space or time to care what Kathy, that's what they called me then, what Kathy wanted for dinner. Okay? I never got to say, okay, are you hungry? What do you feel like? It was just like, okay, we're eating now. Eat now or you're not going to get anything. I had 2 older brothers, let me tell you. If I didn't eat when I ate, there was nothing left. Okay? So there was not a whole lot of space for me personally to kind of figure out, okay, what do I kind of want? What do I want to do? What movie do I want to watch? Think about what it was like to have all of those people ahead of me. And did I ever get to watch any television that I wanted? No, I know all of every Hogan's Heroes that ever was there. It was my brother's favorite, right? I just loved it when the Monkees came on because I at least liked that, you know? Talk about reruns in the 70s. But, and I don't know about you, I'm just speaking about my experience, but what I have found is that even for people who were not the baby of the number of kids, that we weren't given the space to really develop our own communication system with the desires within our hearts. We haven't given ourselves space. We talk about fathers, we talk about the responsibility that fathers hold and that sense of responsibility of taking care of the family. How often do you get to really think, okay, what do I want to do today, other than on Father's Day, because you all get to do what you want on Father's Day. And mothers, and people who are taking care of other people, that we don't give ourselves a lot of space to take care of our own needs. And I'm not talking about being selfish and narcissistic and it's all about me and all of that. It may feel that way when you've given away everything of yourself for so long and you start to create a little space of you. It may feel a little bit like, oh, I'm being a little selfish here, you know? But what I'm talking about is balance. Can we find the balance of being honest with ourselves and honest with what it is that we are desiring and allowing that to come forward while we're still in relationship with others? Get my drift? You following me so far? You're not. You're asleep?
Yes.
Just making sure. I'm just making sure. So when we're trying to figure out and start to create the intention and create the vision for our life, this is when daydreaming, I know it's silly, but like spending some time just sitting and looking out the window, right? Some space getting out of your normal routine, taking a walk in nature, being in a place that's different, getting your feet in the grass even sometimes is enough to connect you with something greater that gets you out of your own head. It gets you out of your routine of thinking of trying to fix what's wrong and trying to figure it out and trying to put, that doesn't work. Our brains, our minds get us into a lot of trouble. But what we want to do is sink into that place of knowing. We want to sink into our heart. We want to invite our imaginative forces to come forward and let us create a vision of possibility, to create a vision of possibility in our lives. Because everything is possible for you. You have a divine Father. And it's that amazing presence that has brought forth all that is. And sometimes I sit there and I contemplate the idea that perfection that is in the smallest, most molecular space of life, the perfection of that, the order of that, the beauty of life, from the tiniest particle to the most infinite aspect of the cosmos. If God has created this divine beauty, this divine perfection, from that space to the infinite space, and you know what? My issues, my desires are nothing. It's easy. It's easy to create what it is that you want, but we got to let God do it. We got to let God be God in our lives. And so how we do that is we connect to the vision. We create that intention. And it's not about the picture of it, right? It's not about the beautiful home with the white picket fence and the da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, it's not about the 6-foot-tall, whatever, blah, blah, blah person. I'm sorry, I can't even talk about what I would create for our man because I already got it, so I know what I want, you know? So I can't even think of something else, you know? But it's not, you get the image, right? So it's not the picture, it's the experience of having it. How would you feel when you get what you want? Because it doesn't matter what the out-picturing of it is. It doesn't matter if it's a split-level, 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. What's important is the feeling of safety and security and beauty and comfort that comes from having the right and perfect home. That's your vision. That's the vision that you hold of what it is that you're wanting to create. Having a job is being able to express yourself and give your gifts and your talents in a way that are well respected and supported and you prosper because of it and because you have this fulfillment and fullness in your life. That's what you do when you want to create a job. It's not about the form, it's about the experience, and that's the vision that we start to develop and we hold. That's the first step in this process, is to create that vision. And ironically enough, our own John Foltz is starting the visioning class on Tuesday. So if this is something that you're working on, and I did not do this on purpose, like I didn't know that it was, you know, that when we set the talk, so that's what was going to happen, but it's so divinely perfect that if there's something that you're working on and wanting to create in your life and you're not exactly sure how to do it, take this class. Step into that visioning class. This is a process. It's one of the spiritual practices that we teach that opens you not only to thinking. It's not just vision boarding and making a pretty picture of something, and that's good and everything, but it doesn't work unless you get connected to that deep vision of your truth of your life. And you learn that process in this class on Tuesday night. I encourage you if there's something that you're wanting to move. So what happens is when you connect to this vision, then what you do is you contemplate it, you hold it, you nurture it, you experience it every day, and then every decision you make, every choice you have that comes forward, you get to say, does this support the vision or does this inhibit the vision? Because it's going to do one or the other. And if it supports the vision, you say yes to it. And if it inhibits your vision, you got to think about it before you say yes. You might want to say no. Because that's setting our course towards creating what it is that we're wanting. And so it becomes very simple. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's simple because you have this, when you have this vision that's so real for yourself, everything that shows up, it either supports it or it doesn't. And if you're serious about creating what you want to create, then you say yes to everything that supports the vision, and you say no to everything that does not. And you move in that direction. Then you need to know that it's possible. Look, I don't know how to create the life I want to create. I don't know how to do it. I never have. I never figured it out. I don't know how to do it, but I know that God does. All I have to do is know it and declare it and then allow God to be God in my life. God knows how to get it done. God can get it done. That's my new quote for the week. Someone should do that. You know? Someone recently reminded me of something that I teach and that I say all the time, and I love when people quote me to me. And even when they're reminding me and I need to hear it, right? Like, that's the funny one, when I'm actually the one who needs to hear it. So that's usually why I say everything anyways. But I was reminded that I often say it just takes a pinprick of belief. It takes a pinprick of belief, like a pin, that much belief to allow God to flow in. Because God pours itself in. God flows in. God shows up with, you know, in magnificent ways. But we have to have that belief. We have to step into that place of knowing. You need to have that pinprick of belief to be able to allow it to happen. You need to know that it's possible. You know, Ernest Holmes, the founder of religious science, talks a lot over and over again about the fact that it is done unto you as you believe. That's the core of our philosophy, is that if you want to look at what you're creating in your life, you better look at what you're believing. Right? So if you want to look at your life and say, okay, do I really believe that I'm capable? And then the effect of your life is showing that it's not showing up like you're capable, then you may want to look at your beliefs. If you believe that you're abundant and prosperous, and you look at your bank account, you might want to, you know, rethink that there might be something there to look at, right? So what I was reminded of is the story where that comes from. It's the story of Jesus healing the blind from Matthew. So Jesus is there, and a couple of blind men come up to him, and they say to him, have mercy on us. And they came to him and said and asked them and asked him to heal them. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they say, yes, Lord, we believe. And he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. According to your faith, let it be done unto you. And they were healed. Now, he didn't say, according to my power. You know, Jesus, sometimes the modern idea of Jesus is that he should be walking around with like a superhero cape, right? You know, that he was able to do this. But it wasn't him, it was the Father working through belief, through their faith that healed them. They healed themselves with their knowing. And Jesus was the channel through which it happened. And so it is done unto you as you believe. Do you believe that the dreams of your heart are capable of coming into experience, even though you don't know how it's going to happen? Do you believe it's possible? Can you pull up a pinprick of belief in what it is that you want? Because if you can, then anything is possible for you. We need to believe it's possible, because without it, nothing is possible. So I have, so this week, I'm going to try and get through this. But so I came across a story, and you may have heard it this week already. It's a tearjerker, so I'm going to try and get through it without me bawling. But and it touched me very deeply about this power of belief. And so I'm going to tell you the story of 11-year-old Layla Anderson. Layla has an incredibly rare immunodeficiency disease. And because of the disease, which is called HLH, I'm not even going to try and say what it is. She's had bone marrow transplants. She's been through chemotherapy. It's a kind of cancer. And she's experienced some very significant hospital stays. She also, to put it mildly, is a fan, let's call her a super fan, of her hometown hockey team, the St. Louis Blues. And during the team's visits to the hospital, they got to know each other. She got to know a lot of the players, and they got to know her. And they know that she's a great fan of theirs. And so her beloved Blues, of course, were vying for the Stanley Cup versus the Boston Bruins. And you know that this has to be very touching for me to be telling this story this week when my Bruins lost. But that's okay because of this. So the day before the game, her mother posed a question to Layla that was captured on a video that went viral. So you can check it out if you want to see this. Her mom said to her, if you could watch the game anywhere in the world tomorrow, anywhere in the world, where would you be to watch your boys play games of? And Layla said, Boston? Which seemed highly improbable because Layla has not been able to travel. Actually, the only places she's been in the last while is either at home or in the hospital. Her mom said, well, what if I told you the Blues called and they want you at the game? And she said, what, how? And she said, doctor said it was okay. And immediately she started crying. Layla started crying and saying, no, he didn't. Mommy, no, he didn't. Oh my God. And so Layla found herself at the Garden watching as, for the first time in their history, the St. Louis Blues won the Stanley Cup championship, but it gets better. The Blues beat the Bruins 4-1, Pale, get over it, to win the title. And after the game, Layla was down on the ice talking to the NHL TV alongside all of her favorite players. She became a little bit of a superstar here. And she said, I never gave up on these boys. They've done so much for me that they don't know. I couldn't thank them enough for helping me get through my fight. And you may know that traditionally the Stanley Cup winners drink champagne out of the trophy. Layla said she hopes to enjoy nacho served from the cup, and the team said that they're going to do it for her. She's an inspiration to everybody in St. Louis, and at this point, maybe everybody in the hockey world. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch sports columnist Benjamin Hockman had gotten to know the girl and met up with her in Boston right before the game. He said, so I'm chatting with her. And I say, okay, well, maybe I'll see you on the ice after the game. And she looks at me straight in the eyes and says with absolute confidence and knowing, you will. A determined and confident Blues fan. She believed. She had a knowing and a belief. And if you think about how hard it would be for this kid who's gone through all that she's gone through to believe in something like that, it's remarkable. And it's powerful. And so this is a gift. And I can't wait to get a picture of her eating the nachos because I hope they washed it out for some. God bless Layla Anderson. Go back to you. Okay, so. So, once we get that feeling, once we hold the vision, once we know that everything is possible, we have to commit to it. We have to commit to staying with it. We need to stay true to our vision, right? We need to allow it to be pure and to stay connected to it. And so that's where all of our spiritual practices, our affirmations, our prayer work, our vision boards, and all of that stuff that we do helps, because a vision board is a wonderful thing to do when you are deeply connected to what that vision is. When it is an external reminder, an external representation of what it is that you're feeling inside of wanting to experience in your life, then it keeps you connected to that vision. Because what happens is over time, doubts creep in. We can get into a place where we know it's all possible and we have the picture of it or the feeling of it, and we can get so connected to it, right? Have you had a moment in your life when it's so clear that this is the direction you're supposed to go, and then like 2 weeks later it's like, what was I thinking? There's no way I can do that. There's no money here. There's no possibility. There's no way of doing that. That's why all of these things are powerful, because they are reminders. When the voices of other people's doubts and fears and worries for you start to creep in, When the chatter of the world starts to say it's not possible, you need to stay so connected to that divine vision of possibility. And that's why coming to church, that's why being part of a spiritual community, that's why sticking with our classes and trying our sacred circles and doing something to connect you on a weekly basis to remind you of those infinite possibilities is crucial for us to live a full and fulfilling life. If you want to make change and you want to make shifts in your life, that's the way to do it. And then we just stay in the flow of it. You know, I love that idea of staying in the flow, staying in the zone, hearing about athletes talk about what that's like, or artists talk about being in the zone and being in the flow and being connected to that. And that's our goal, is to try and stay in that space, and then when we get out of it, to get ourselves back, right? To get ourselves back into that. And I've thought a lot about what it means to stay in the flow. How do we do that? I think a lot about how it is that we fall so quickly off of it. And again, the image that I have is the image of weebles, right? Because weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. I was a child of the 70s, and that's the that's, I look at the toys of today, and then this is my aside for the day. I look at the toys of the day and remember that I just love to play with my people, right? Like, okay, you know, but weevils wobble, but they don't fall down. So that's who we are. We can go a little bit off on our belief. We can go a little bit off with our doubts, but we don't fall down. We don't get stuck down that whole rabbit hole of that. We wobble back up. We step back into our center and back into our truth. I love what Oprah said in the book this week. She told a story about LeBron James, and she said that basketball legend LeBron James is considered one of the most intensely focused competitors ever to play the game. She once asked him what could possibly cause an MVP like him to lose his rhythm on the court. And his response was, "I get off my game when I start playing for others rather than playing for myself." And Oprah goes on to say that this is a universal truth. We fall off our course the minute our intention shifts from following our heart to responding to what we think others believe. And all of a sudden, life feels complicated. So if you're in a moment where your life feels complicated and you feel like it's mucky and gunky, remember last week, gunk. If your life gets gunked up, if it feels murky, then the challenge, that's a signal to you that you're off, you're weebled. You need to walk. Okay? Do whatever it is, it's going to connect you back to that place of knowing of who you are. And it's not selfish, and it's not narcissistic, and it's not self-serving. You are here to be a channel of divine light unto the world, and when you are in your fullness and you're in your zone and you're in your flow, what you're doing is you're bringing your gifts to this universe, to this world, to all the people that are around you, and you give permission to everybody else to step into their light too. Just imagine if we were a society of lights, being who we are and loving this life. That's the world I want to live in. That's the world we're working to create. And so this is the deal. It's a no-lose situation for us. And I get it. Sometimes it feels foolish walking around pretending that, you know, trying to convince ourselves that something's possible when there's a big part of you that feels like it's not. But what have you got to lose? Your life is either, if you step into the belief, if you work on believing that something's possible, you're either going to create it and manifest it and have this amazing gift, or nothing's going to change, right? So there's no foolishness in believing in God, in stepping into that knowing. I think a lot of how much belief and faith we put in the people that are around us in our lives, right? When you go into a doctor's office and they tell you something, you believe them. They have a sense of authority that is powerful, and it's convincing, and for personal experience, it's not always right, but that's fine. But they have that, we have a tendency to give them our belief, or some professional in our professors, or some professional in some different profession that is very learned. We give them our trust, we give them our faith, because we know what they've done. Well, let me tell you, how hard is it to give our faith to God, who's created the universe? Hello? Right? Like, so we doubt that God exists, we doubt that there's a presence. Well, just look around you, look at what's been created, and look at the glory and the magnificence of this life that you are. We need to learn to put our trust in God. Proverbs, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not into thine own understanding. And always acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. The Bible tells us over and over again, all the spiritual mystics of the world tell us, of all the different faiths, they tell us that there is a presence that is greater than we are, and it's all about love, and it's right where we are. That is the message of all the mystics, of the Christian mystics and the Jewish mystics and the Islamic mystics, and all of them all come up with the same thing, that we are all one, it is all love, and there is a presence that's bigger than we are. We need to start believing in it. We need to start trusting it. And so when we can connect with that truth of what it is, the desire within our hearts, when we can clearly step forward knowing that this everything is possible, and we can trust the power of God to show up, anything is possible. And so I'm going to leave you with my favorite quote, my absolute favorite quote from this book. Oprah says it's something that she shares with all of her students in South Africa. She says, listen, you are not your circumstances. You are your possibilities. You are not your circumstances. You are your possibilities. And so we have a choice of what we want to live in. Do you want to live in your circumstance, or do you want to create your possibilities? Because I'm for this. I'm for the magnificence and the joy and this fulfilling, glorious life. And that's what we're working on this week. And so it is.
Yeah.